Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, it's game week. We're so excited. And my buddy that works harder, he's the hardest working man in show business from China Grove, North Carolina, making his way in. I don't know how much you weigh, Bubba. 6 foot three or four.
Bubba Rosenbaum. About 195, 200.
All right. There you go. He's weighing in there. How are you, sir?
Doing great. It's hard to believe that we're almost to the middle point of the week. Wednesday is about here, and it's hard to believe that it's finally game week. Hopefully nothing will happen in the next 3 days. Knock on wood.
Like this. With us right now, a man that, I tell you one thing, the one thing I learned is there's a big difference, Bubba, you and our next guest know about the difference between playing hurt and playing injured. We got a gentleman, I think, is playing injured tonight, and he's still helping us out.
He is. So I'm very excited to be rejoined by the man in the boot there, the cast. And I appreciate him having my son's name on his cast. It also happens to be the name of his niece. Welcome into the program, former East Carolina tight end and ESPN analyst, Jay Sonhalter.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, I mean, we got to push through pain. It's game week. No, that opening intro – I got like goosebumps. That was an awesome intro to the podcast, but it really is so exciting. And thank God we're here for game week. And, you know, it's really going to get underway.
And we all have something come. My oldest nephew's name, Riley. So we're three for three with the name Riley. So awesome. I'll stick with my oldest nephew is what the name of your cast. Senior in high school. But anyway, guys, very excited about it. Certainly we got great news again today from the governor, phase three. So it's not exactly what we want, but I believe it's 7% of the as far as outdoor venues, we get what, 7% of the capacity, Bubba?
Yep, 7%. So for Dowdy Ficklin, that's roughly, roughly 3,500.
All right. Well, Jay, can you pull any strings to get us in, man? You're the man, the big man on campus.
Guys, I'm going to get y'all in the huddle. I'm not going to get you in the table. Y'all are going to be in the huddle. Y'all might have headsets before we're done. Yeah, we're going to get you guys in there. Hey, we need y'all. We need y'all in there. It's going to be an exciting day, but you guys do so much for the university. We need y'all in there.
Well, thank you very much. In fact, our next guest with Eric Ward coming up. Very excited to have him, but I can help you with definitely the music, the playlist. I'm a DJ, so I'm good there. I don't know about the play calling, although that I'm going to leave that to the experts and with the great coaching staff with Mike Houston and guys. It's just really hard to believe that we're here. It feels almost like, I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking about this earlier today before the press conference. This is the most excited I've ever been about a football season. Because we've had to wait and wait and wait and wait. The Tom Petty song, The Waiting is the Hardest Part. We've been waiting for, it feels like months. Now, it's been only a few weeks, but it feels like months since the start of the season. And I'm just glad to finally be here.
Yeah, and Dave, here about an hour and a half ago, that excitement continued to climb because the news that we haven't referenced yet with the Wake Forest Notre Dame game being postponed due to Notre Dame having seven guys out as a result of COVID. You have the East Carolina number 13 UCF game being moved from ESPN Plus to ABC National. And I think the last time, and maybe perhaps the only time, but at least the last time the Pirates played on ABC was on a regional telecast back in 2015, Ruffin McNeil's final year, when James Summers went off and the Pirates took down the Hokies. Jay, do you recall that matchup with Virginia Tech that day in the rain?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that was an opportunity for exposure and you know, back looking back on that, and you know, these opportunities for national TV games don't come often. You got to take advantage of it, and I think this is going to be a big opportunity. First game of the year in UCF. You know, we saw them last week against Georgia Tech. They were impressive. But 2 weeks back-to-back, they're going to have to go on the road, and they're going against, you know, our team, ECU, who's motivated, a lot of new faces. But in year two with Coach Houston, you know, a lot that they want, you know, they want to prove. You know, it all starts on Saturday.
You know, guys, one of the things that you know, we know how great Central Florida is. We know UCF. There's no question about it. I'm not knocking them. But the thing is, they don't know what we're going to do. They know a little bit of what we're going to do, but we haven't played a game. And this might be, you never know, this might be the game that it's a home game. The fact that you have Coach Houston, I think, and we do know how to pronounce the defensive coordinator's name, Bubba, Blake Harrell. And the fact that those guys are just, I think, this is me personally. I'll tell you what I feel like. I don't know about the Central Florida game, but with Blake Harrell, the one thing that he's doing with these players, he's making it fun. Jay and Bubba, he's also made – those guys are energetic on the defensive side of the ball. We have more depth. We brought in a whole bunch of guys on defensive line. I know that we don't have the experience that would make me feel more comfortable, but we certainly have the talent on that side of the ball that I think you could argue the last few years we haven't had. We have the talent. We just don't have necessarily the experience that would make you feel more at ease and make it more of a – on paper, an even match game with Central Florida was UCF. The Knights, they've got the talent, they've got the experience, they have the swagger of winning so many games over the last handful of years. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, anything is, if I've learned anything, Jay, in a normal year, I would say there's no way in the world we could beat Central Florida with UCF. But this is COVID-19, and crazier things have happened, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. And I mean, the UCF is a great team, and there's a reason why they're ranked 13th right now. We have a lot of new faces, and even though there's not maybe the experience that you would, you know, you'd want, it's a lot of talent. But the keys for this game is going to be that defense. You know, you look at the depth chart, a lot of you know, freshmen, true freshmen or young guys in the two deep. The key is going to be, can we get turnovers? You know, the defense is going to have to get turnovers because this is a big, big, powerful UCF offense. And I think they're going to score, but can we get turnovers, you know, to limit their opportunities? And then also on the offensive end, you know, I think we're going to have to score. And, our offense has more experience, but I think they're going to have to protect the football and have some long drives, and then defense create some turnovers.
And, Bubba, I think if we have any kind of hope of a chance, any way to win, wouldn't you say we'd have to score at least in the 40s to have a chance to beat this team? You can't score in the 20s and beat this team. I would say you'd have to score in the 40s even to have a shot to win the game.
Yeah, and like Coach Houston said, I could care less what the score is as long as we find a way to be right there with the chance to win and find a way to win. When it's all said and done, he said, I could care less whether it's 59-58, and that may be what it would take.
Hey, guys, what if it was the most boring game in the history of college sports? We get a safety 2-0, you know. If he's going to give me that, oh my God, that would be horrible. But hey, if we win the game, we win the game.
Yeah, and guys,
it would be horrible. Speak for yourself, Dave. If UCF has scored 30, I get what you're saying, but
I'm not saying that would be. Yeah, I would be happy to win the game.
30 plus points, UCF's offense, and something like 38 out of 39 or 39 out of the last 40 games. If we shut them out,
I'll tell you, it's, you know, and UCF is good, and just because they're playing two road games in a row, it doesn't mean they can't come out and play great. But they play Georgia Tech in a tough game. You know, Georgia Tech is a good team. They fought hard, and UCF outlasted them and looked really impressive. But it is hard going 2 weeks on the road, especially early in the season with COVID, you know, just different year, and ECU's coming out here. Now, this is the first game, so they haven't seen us. You know, a lot of inexperience. You know, we never know how we'll react. But this is a national TV game for us, so I expect our team, with a lot to prove in year two of Coach Houston, to come out and be ready to play. And, you know, hopefully they'll match, you know, that intensity with production. And they need to get off to a good start in this game.
I want to ask both of you guys a question, too. And I'm sorry, Bubba, but both of y'all play football, so help me. But remember when Rick Smith came in and simplified the defense? Wouldn't you say that some of the times that the coordinators and maybe some position coaches get too cute, they get too complicated? Both of y'all played. I want to ask you that question before I forgot. Sometimes you can get coordinators or position coaches to get too complicated and try to they outthink themselves, so to speak.
Sure, they do. There are plenty of examples of that where a coach, rather than just trusting his personnel and just doing what his team does best, whether it's offensively, defensively, whatever, and rather than just, like you said, keeping it simple to a certain point, they try to be too cute or maybe too complex. For instance, John Thompson's staff, in my opinion, defensively, and then also some other defenses we saw, and then you had Greg Hudson and Rick Smith come in and simplify things and make sure that we're good at the things that we are doing rather than trying to do a lot of things and be mediocre or below mediocre at them.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with a younger team and even a veteran team in the first game of the year, you don't have that game experience of playing four or five or six games. And even from game one to game two, UCF's played, you do have more of that experience. So it's easier to diagnose things or, just with the playbook, react quicker. I think in this game, you'll see ECU being, keep things very, very simple, especially on the defensive side. But I think they'll keep it simple because you want these young guys and, even the veteran guys to play fast. You don't want to get beat or lose a play because you're being too complicated. You'd rather keep things simple and let them go out there and play with confidence and not think too much.
And Bubba, with another thing, guys, that comes to mind for me that I'm very excited about, it's nice to have a guy that's a junior as quarterback with Holton Ahlers. The great thing about that kid, he's the first one there and the last one to leave. He is eating, sleeping, drinking football. He's coachable. I think the fact that you look at the quarterback room, you look at the running back room, you look at Jay. By the way, Jay, we've got that position. You know very well. We have tight ends again. I mean, what a concept.
I know. I was so excited to see we got some depth there, and they're going to be used in the game plan.
Yeah, I told Bubba and Kyle the first time I really met them and to the podcast, it's like, one of the things I hated under the Montgomery era was that very fact that I think the tight end, not because you've been on the show with us a lot, but I've always said the tight end is such an essential position on the offensive side of the ball, and it's very underrated. And the Montgomery era, it's like they had names, and then they had the position tight end, but they never really saw them. Yeah,
and even though I played the position, I mean, I you look at any successful team, really successful, they use the tight end, and it's a big part of their offense and the blocking and the passing game. And there's so many of these spread offenses that score points, but when it gets down to it, when you get to the red zone, the quarterback has to have a best friend and have a target, and that's where tight ends excel, in the red zone and in the blocking game. When you have a tight end that can block, you can really open up the running game. So I'm excited, and I know the coaching staff is going to utilize, the three guys they have, and utilize them well.
No question about it. With Bubba, with our running game, I mean, I know Coach was talking about Demetrius Mooney, but you got a lot of – that running back room is the best. Jay, that's the best we've had in a long, long time. You could put in – would you guys say about four different guys and be confident that they can – run the football? That's my get off the top of my head.
Yeah, based on everything we've been hearing from Coach Houston, I mean, you referenced Demetrius Mooney. Obviously, you have Darius Penix, who Coach Houston's indicated that he's going to be used in a variety of ways, that he's had an excellent fall camp, and then he's had to have an excellent fall camp because you've had guys, be it Demetrius Mooney, Raji Harris.
Trace Christian.
Well, yeah, of course you have Trace Christian, and then also drawing a blank on the other freshman in addition to Raji Harris out of Georgia. But anyway, I'll think of his name in a moment. In the running back room, and then obviously Chase Hayden transferring in from Arkansas. Yeah. And so there's so many options there, and those guys have been performing very well in practice from everything you've heard Coach Houston say, and they bring different things to the table. So I fully expect that you'll see three play, and who knows, maybe you'll see even more see action, but I think three will get the bulk of the action, and it'll be just interesting to see the roles that they're used in.
I mean, the thing that excites me too is, there's so much depth. So that means there's a lot of competition. So those guys are going to be raising their games, you know, to compete in that room to get reps. But then also with COVID, you know, and injuries, you never know what's going to happen. So it's important to have talent, and especially young talent with those two freshmen that they have that's on the depth chart.
And Dave, it's Keaton Mitchell. It came to me as soon as I stopped speaking. Keaton Mitchell out of Georgia. Keaton had, I want to say, something like a 95-yard touchdown run in one of the scrimmages, and maybe another one that was 40 or 50 or more. You know, so he has speed, and based on what we've heard about him, that he may bring an element to the table, kind of like Breon Allen or something.
Yeah, you know, Jay, and Bubba, the one thing that comes to mind when Kyle and I were at the media day, I know Bubba had a previous commitment, unfortunately, last year in 2019. I'll never forget Steve Schenkweiler was on with us, the very first guest, and he made a very good point I never really thought about that we take for granted. He said, guys, he said, just because you're on the first string, he told his players, doesn't mean that you're great. He said, you're just the best of what we have. And so I think that's a great point, is that just because these guys, my point, going back to what you're talking about, Jay, with the competition is great because these guys, like you were talking about, we're going to sharpen their skills and the depth and all that. But sometimes just because you've got a guy and he brags, hey, I'm first string. Well, then we might not have there might not be anybody behind you, or maybe one other guy that's really bad. And so you're first string that way. Right, Bubba, Jay?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's interesting that he said that, because there definitely are guys that are like, oh, I'm first team, I made it. And they don't realize how easily they can be replaced either by a backup or a next year's recruiting class. And, you know, when I was their coach, Holtz used to say the same thing, you know, like, you may be starting, but you're not considered a starter. So that's what you want. You want 11 real starters on both sides of the ball. And then also the way I look at it is, you know, let's just say you're a starter and you're doing great. Well, do you want to just be the best guy at East Carolina, or do you want to be the starter for the be the best guy in the conference, and whoever you're matching up against? So if I'm a tight end and we're playing UCF, I want to be the best tight end on the field, not just the starter at East Carolina. And that's how you win games, is if you have enough guys on your offense that are better than UCF's guys at that position. So that's what our goal should be, is continue to get better, but be better at each position group, and that's how we'll start to win more games.
No question about it, Bubba. I know with Jay, have you got a schedule that as far as your broadcasting? And I know we had you on before. We wanted to give people the opportunity to see you. And one of the great things about it right now with COVID is I see all these big box stores talking about the home team, meaning that to go out and buy these big screen TVs and everything where they can watch Jay Sunhalter. where can they watch you?
Well, right now, my doctor is having me kind of lay low and kind of rest up my ankle. So I tore ligaments ligaments in my ankle and tore a tendon too. So I'm going to be on a cast for about another 3 weeks to a month, and then crutches afterwards. So I'm still waiting to get cleared. So we'll see once I get cleared, and you know what the timeline looks like, and you know, hopefully there'll be games, you know, still going on. But I'm kind of just in rest and recovery mode right now. But I watch everything now. I have a chance to watch all the games and kind of really study up. So hopefully I'll get healthy here and be able to be at stadiums calling games.
No question about it. Well, Jay, thanks, man, for coming on. It means a lot to us to have you on. I hope that we can get you back on the playback that we have after our post-game show.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you back on and break down we're working on some really cool stuff we'll tell you about off air, but love to have you a part of that down the line.
Oh, yeah, guys, thanks so much for having me on. And anytime y'all want to talk ball, I'm always here. And, Bubba, I saw your message, so I'll let you guys know, or I'll talk to you guys later. Let me know if you need anything at all on the game Saturday, and I look forward to seeing the Pirates hopefully pull out a win.
All right, Jay, appreciate you, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, it's game week. We're very excited to have our next guest because If we see his face, that means we're going to play a game in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, right, Bubba?
Yep. Welcome back into the program. Eric Ward of ECU Sports Marketing. Eric, we appreciate you rejoining us.
Bubba, Dave, thanks so much for having me. This is my second time on the show, so I appreciate you having me back. I guess I wasn't too bad the first time.
No, we were excited to have you on then and now. And I wanted to ask you, though, I wanted to ask Coach Houston, I think somebody else did. But as far as the music is concerned and the piped in crowd noise, is that something fans, can we pick the songs and then like send you a playlist? Can we do that?
Yeah, so I'm working right now with the coaching staff and Big John with strength and conditioning. They provided a substantial playlist for this first game. This is kind of a unique opportunity. Normally in a game situation, it gets a little difficult because we have such a wide variety of a fan base. And this is an opportunity to kind of play the music that the players really want to hear for this first game, since we only have the players' families. So it's probably going to be a little bit different than a normal ECU game. And then when we have fans back, whenever that may be, I guess you guys obviously saw the same announcement I did on the raised capacity. I don't know what that means officially for us, but assuming that means we have fans at our next home game, you know, it'll kind of revert back to more traditional type music you hear in an ECU game. That being said, I am working with them right now on us producing a Spotify playlist on game day of what the players will be warming up to. So fans that do choose to partake in that kind of music will definitely have that opportunity.
That sounds like I have Spotify. So that's very cool. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I keep Spotify is their playlists that they make are just like second to none. I love their stuff. No doubt about it.
Yeah, Eric, here a few days ago, I appreciate you putting that sound test on when you guys were in Dowdy-Ficklin with Purple Haze and some other things, and you had that 30-second or so clip you put on Twitter. And I know myself and several other Pirates got really fired up when they heard that, just visualizing being at Dowdy-Ficklin for game day.
Yeah, I have in my Twitter bio a line that really – I think is my job, proudly building and upholding the great tradition of the ECU Pirates. And so whatever that means this year, I want to make sure we have the opportunity to do it and showcase it. So I'm excited. You know, I know that is a psychological advantage for our players, the opportunity to run out through purple smoke, hear purple haze, you know, the raising of the no quarter flag, those types of things I think really matter. It matters, of course, so much more when fans are there. But I want our guys to know that, hey, Pirate Nation may not physically be here, but they're going to be there with you on game day.
No doubt about it. Very excited about it. In fact, I wanted to ask you this, been dying to know, but I assume that we're going to pretty much do the same kind of things with the, speaking of Purple Haze, the players will do the same kind of things. The only difference is we don't have the 51,000 plus cheering really hard and getting really loud.
Yeah, all of our traditions, you know, we're going to have to be a little bit creative with. The American Athletic Conference has adopted a field bubble concept. And so the way that's going to work this year is the team boxes will now expand from the 15-yard line to the 15-yard line on either side of the field. Additionally, we've created an eight-yard buffer beyond that that will, you know, essentially be from where media is going to be to the team. It's kind of a three-tiered system. There's the, you know, one color is the team specifically, you know, players, coaches, athletic trainers, whoever's like within the team bubble right now. Then there's going to be an extremely limited amount of media that are going to be allowed in the end zones. And by and large, that's going to be, you know, the main TV stations and a couple of internal type folks like Houston on my team, who does social media with us, will be one of those people. And then everybody else, the limited working staff, will be up in the press box facility. So there are extreme restrictions on what we're able to do, which unfortunately means things like Steve Wetzel coming out and leading the team, you know, is not going to be a possibility this year. That being said, we do have some special tricks up our sleeve that I think will be very fun for Pirate Nation on Saturday. That'll make you feel like you're right there.
That's very exciting. In fact, folks, high noon on Saturday. In fact, ABC, we're very happy to hear about that. Eric, hate it for Notre Dame, but it's a nice break for the Pirates as, we were going to go from, not that there's anything wrong with ESPN Plus. I had it when it first came out. I have no problems with ESPN Plus, but I think that anybody that can't find ABC, then I don't know. Well, we want everybody in their fan base, but ABC is a very easy a place to find a game.
Yeah, I got to say, I read a tweet earlier. I just got back from a run, a cool down walk, and I don't know if this is true. I can't verify, but I did read a tweet that said this would be the Pirates' first ever game on ABC. And if that's the case, that's really, really cool. I don't believe it, but
it's not.
Okay, good. I was like, but either way, it's definitely been a long time since we have been in a broadcast on a major network to that level. And I am very, very excited to, you know, have our game day experience, albeit changed, but at least showing the purple and gold and the beautiful State of Mind logo in midfield on a nationally televised broadcast.
It was 5 years ago, right? It was September of 2015. Pirates under Ruffin McNeil played against the Virginia Tech Hokies. We win the game. James Summers was the quarterback and had a really big day in the rain. So it's been 5 years, so a long time that we haven't been on ABC.
So I'm very excited for that opportunity. I think it's always really cool, and I'm sure it'll be an extra bit of juice for the guys for the opening game.
Here's our chance. Here's our opportunity as we welcome in Kyle Barber. Kyle from LaGrange, here's our chance to knock off the number 13 team in the nation at home. The only thing that'll be disappointing, obviously, is that it'd be nice to have 51,000 people going absolute bananas, but I guess we'll have different cameras or different things we put on social media as we're getting excited about the game. We could just put that up on our on our own social media, I guess, so to speak. Well, welcome in, Kyle. What's up? What's on your mind?
What's going on, guys? Didn't get the link till late, so checking in here late. Eric, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's great to see you. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. I mentioned this is my second time, and fortunately, you guys didn't throw me out after the first one, so I do appreciate being back.
No, absolutely. Eric, I'm sorry I got here late, so I don't want to repeat any of the same questions, but just under the circumstances with COVID and things being what they are, no fans to speak of in attendance for game one except the players' family, how much more difficult does it make your job, game day preparation, et cetera?
Yeah, I think it's I don't want to say it's more difficult. It's just different because there are a lot of things that I'm not going to have to deal with or worry about that are normal game day functions. I swear every game day at home, it like takes a year off my life because it's unbelievably stressful. But it's like the good kind of stress that you just sit back and you're like, man, very proud of it. But it's just different. I will say we're going to be announcing something tomorrow that I wish I could talk about on here tonight. But I know. But I do think it's right up the alley with what you guys are talking about. And I do think it's going to be something that, you know, Pirate fans are going to have a really good time with. Long story short, I'll leave it at we are going to try our darndest to provide the game day experience to Pirate fans while they're at home.
Well, I heard that talked about on the Mike Houston show on Monday about a virtual ticket. And is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, there's definitely some things related to that that are going to be awesome for fans that are watching at home. You know, it really stinks not having a full house and all that, but we're going to make the best of it. You know, that's what we do as Pirates. We take what we got, and we're going to make the best of it.
What is your official job title, Eric?
Director of Marketing and Fan Engagement.
Okay. I had a question about that, and I don't know if a good idea or a bad idea or not realistic idea or what. With the marketing aspect of things and with having so many empty areas in the stadium, has there been any talks about using like big banners, like big flags, like the no quarter size flags to cover some of those seating areas with sponsors?
Yes, there has. My understanding, the last time I was in a discussion related to that was specific to sponsorship elements, is that there's some TV contractual obligations that prohibit some of that. I do not know the extent of that. I mean, that would be a Megan Hinch and IMG question, but I know that was something that they definitely did talk about. We did talk about the no quarter banner. There are definitely some workarounds with that, depending on where people are sitting in the stands, who sets it up, how it's attached. I know we're still trying to figure that one out.
One question I have for the future, probably obviously it's not going to be in 2020. I'll give credit to Kyle, but things like schools like Alabama are doing with the light shows that they have that are really cool. Is that something that we could do? Obviously, it wouldn't be effective in 2020, but that's something that I know the guys on the podcast, we really want.
Yeah, that's definitely at the very top of my wish list. I believe UGA was the first school to do that maybe 2 or 3 years ago with the LED lights, and it is really cool. And I'm telling you, there would be nothing more awesome than being able to do Purple Haze with purple lights flashing while we did it. I think that would be the coolest thing ever. I'm sure that's a – well, I don't want to say it's a significant financial expense because you end up, I'm sure, saving money on the back end of it. But there is a cost, you know, as part of that, of changing all the lights. That's at the top of my wish list. I've been pestering JJ McLam about that for the last couple of years and saying, how do we get this? Because I really want that.
Yeah, Eric, I'll put my vote in for that. University of Georgia, I guess it was 2018 when I had the opportunity to go to the Georgia-Auburn game, and that was very cool, the light show.
Yeah, I mean, we could program so many things with that. You could even make them, you know, red for no quarter. You could do, I mean, shoot, Living on a Prayer, depending on the different music we do. I mean, there's so many opportunities with that because there's a lot less restrictions for some reason for schools doing that at football games than the schools are doing it for basketball. And I'm not really sure why. Our functionality in Minji's is just shuttering and unshuttering the lights. So we don't actually have, like, LED lights that change. The schools that do have that, though, once you tip the ball off, you can't actually change that at any point in time. In fact, when I was at Texas Tech, I actually got a technical foul for doing that as we went into our under eight timeout, and we did a whole thing. So that being said, it was approved by the head coach. It was not approved by the referee. So, but anyway, I don't think they've caught up in football yet is what I'm saying, because I'm surprised you're able to do that during the game. Like, us doing that in no quarter would be awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if by the time we get those lights, they'll be like, yeah, you guys probably shouldn't be turning the lights off in the stadium with 50,000 people.
Now, Eric, since you brought it up and you were able to laugh about it, that with the technical foul at Texas Tech, did the head coach have anything to say?
No, that was Coach Tubby Smith, and he's the nicest guy. I mean, he's the classiest guy I've ever met. And we talked about doing it as I believe we were playing Baylor, and he was all about it. And he said, you know what, let's just do it. And we were like, well, is there a rule against this? And he's like, I don't think so. And we're like, well, I guess there was. So, but yeah, they did the tee and they pointed. And then, I mean, it was whatever. We ended up winning the game. They were like 12th in the country at the time, but it was pretty fun. They don't have the cool tradition like a no quarter, but that was something we did do at the under eight timeout. That was fun.
Just imagine had it been a few years prior and Bobby Knight was still there.
No, you know, what's funny is I've actually been – when I was living in Lubbock, I flew on airplanes twice with him. He still lives in Lubbock, or at least he did when I was there. And all the flights in and out of Lubbock are the very small American Eagle jets. And I got to talk to him a couple times. He's actually a really nice guy to talk to. You would be surprised based on his persona that he put on the court.
Eric, you didn't say, hey, Knight, did you?
No, I did not. I didn't want to stir the pot that way.
with the game time, so with the game experience, obviously, if we do have more fans by the end of the season, is there more things that you can do, or will you? Are you gonna? In other words, what I'm trying to ask: are you gonna pretty much stay the same game plan, or will you modify it if we have more fans as the season goes along?
We're going to have more fans for next.
It'll definitely, yeah, it'll definitely be modified. It'll be much more similar to a traditional game atmosphere. We had a very, very brief debate in terms of what are we going to do for the parents this weekend, which is as much as we possibly can. So there will still be, for them in the stands, somewhat normal game day atmosphere. Without obviously some of the elements that we're prohibited from doing this year. But yes, as the capacities grow, the games will modify, the things we do will change. You know, we're going to be really heavy on social this week, just because that's our clientele. But, you know, we're going to continue to find ways once fans are coming back to games to make the atmosphere, you know, as close to normal as it is.
Eric, Governor said 7% today. So if that holds and doesn't go up between now and Navy, our next home game, my math tells me that's around 3,500 people. Do you have any idea, and this may be a better John Gilbert question, but do you have any idea how those 3,500 will be chosen? Is that going to be partly students and then go by season ticket priority point rank or at the Pirate Club or over your head?
Yeah, I know they mentioned the 7% earlier, because I don't know for sure if we're going to be I would assume we're going to have fans. I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not involved in any of those discussions. That being said, I do know that there is a working plan within the ticket office and Pirate Club. I don't know what it is. I know that they've been waiting on a variety of circumstances. You know, like a month ago, we thought, hey, there's probably a good chance we're going to get, you know, 10% or 15% or 20 or 25. And so they have working plans for all these. I have not heard the 7% number before, so I don't know if there's a plan for that. I guess they'll have to figure it out. But yeah, they do have contingency plans for all these things. And now keep in mind, some of these things are counted towards, you know, visiting fans. Not a substantial chunk by any stretch of the imagination, but I would guess more of a percentage thing. So, for instance, when we go to Georgia State here shortly, I know that there is a contingency of tickets that's dedicated to ECU fans that will be used. So, fortunately, I think in that case, our players' families will get to use those yet again. It's just a crazy year when it comes to all these percentages and figuring this stuff out, because you think about how we plan these things out for, you know, shoot, I would be maybe a month from now starting to plan for the 2021 season. And here we are kicking off Saturday, and we're not really sure exactly what everything's going to be Saturday. So it's just crazy to me how you're, you know, but we're all in the same boat. You know, it's just how it's been the last 6 months, and you just got to figure it out and make the best of it.
Yeah.
Kyle's wondering, Eric, if he can bum a ticket off of you.
Yeah. Well, my wife was actually asking me that before I came on here, and I was like, I don't know. I don't even know if we're having fans. So
the 7% number came out this afternoon, and I'm quite sure we are going to take advantage of it along with all the other schools. I mean, I know that has not been said yet, but I can't imagine us going, no, you know what? We can have 3,500 people. Let's not. So that'll be interesting to see how that's done. And, you know, I'm kind of like you when it's at 7%. I kind of pictured the governor and his people in a room going, how about 10%? How about 5%? And then they're going, all right, 7's right in the middle.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the one making those decisions, because I know there's been a lot of traffic related to those things. And I will say, you know, I focus more on the local, and I know the group that, you know, John and Ryan Robinson and others are working with Pitt County Health Director have been unbelievably helpful in doing everything they can to maximize what we're going to be able to do this year, not just for now, but as we start to open up the stadium. So I feel very fortunate we have the people in Greenville that we have. So hopefully that continues to be the case.
Yeah, no doubt. So how normally we have Hall of Fame weekend, or we'll have Military Appreciation weekend, or we'll have, you know, whatever you pick the weekend, family weekend. So how do we incorporate things like that with after this weekend, hopefully limited fan capacity? I mean, can you have on the field presentation, you know, assuming we have some fans back in there for Navy?
So we will not be allowed, unless there's some major reversal decision. We've already been told we will not be allowed to have anything on the field this season at all.
No band or anything.
Which I, you know, thought, well, maybe if we get to October, November, things are different. Nope, that has been made abundantly clear. There will be nothing on the field at the time. That being said, I know homecoming, the group on campus responsible for the homecoming committee, I believe is elected to move to the spring, not cancel out all, you know, like outright, but do something in the spring, which I know will be a little bit weird, but everything's been weird lately. Yeah. Military game, we're still planning on doing elements with that. Obviously, senior day, which is a really important one for our players and their families. That's one we're going to have to get really creative with, but we'll definitely be there to honor the seniors. What's going to be weird this year, though, and of course, I haven't talked to Coach Houston about this, but with the eligibility granted for all the players for, you know, next year and beyond, I'm sure we're going to have some players that we're not going to, you know, they're not going to stick around. They're going to graduate and move on. We're going to have others that may transfer. Who knows? But it's going to be interesting to see how schools do their senior days this year, because it's such a unique circumstance.
Yeah.
That's
an interesting topic going forward, that, you know, everybody's granted another year of eligibility, and you got scholarship limits, and that you got freshmen coming in from high schools that have been promised scholarships. And that's a big picture question that's very interesting to dive into, which again, it's probably not your, you don't have to deal with it.
So definitely above my pay grade. So I'll let those people make those decisions and figure it out.
And Eric, you actually do the fun stuff, right? I mean, I know it's stressful for you, but like one of the coolest things is when you're beating North Carolina 70-41 and you hear Living on a Prayer and you have all those packed people singing Living on a Prayer. I mean, I could give example after example. That's your job, is to create that atmosphere, right? Or yeah, you play a part in that.
Yeah. So my job producing the games is, I will say, one of the great joys of my life. I mean, there's nothing to me like a game day and being kind of a maestro of that of sorts. I mean, I'm lucky to inherit such a great fan base here where there's all these traditions. Like, I'm not reinventing the wheel, of course. My job is to take the things that are there and figure out how to make them slowly but surely better. You know, I wouldn't be an idiot to show up and change all these great things that we have going on here. And so I, you know, from that standpoint, it's been awesome. But yeah, it's fun feeling the pulse of a crowd and trying to figure out how to balance it all. You know, this year is going to be a little bit different because we're going to have so few sponsorship elements. So we will really will have the opportunity in stadium to do whatever we want. And I think that's going to be fun, you know, getting to do that in a football atmosphere that's maybe a little bit more similar to what we might be able to do at a baseball game. With the flexibility, but yeah, it's a really, really fun job, and there's nothing like a full house or that big game feeling. And I'm honestly feeling that for Saturday. I mean, we mentioned ABC. I mean, prior to even being on ABC, to me, this is just a huge game for ECU. It's a huge opportunity, and to see our guys after a whole off season, I know they've been working their butts off. I mean, I'm fascinated to see what can the offense do, what can the defense do, who has progressed. I mean, and we get to open at home against a top 15 team. It's awesome.
Now, Eric, if we pull off the huge upset Saturday, the monumental upset, if you will, over UCF, do we have your permission, Bubba and I, to come storm the field after everybody's gone? Me and Bubba just gone.
Run. I'll call JJ McLam after this and let him know that that's the plan. I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy. And you know what? We had a conversation, and I hate to say this, but I mean, I'm a huge football fan, right? So, like, in my games, when I'm not working, I'm just like everybody else and doing what everybody else is doing. And I'm telling you, there's going to be crazy tailgates happening all over Eastern North Carolina, people doing their thing because, like, you're not going to stop doing it just because you're not there. People are going to find a way to have the same experience. Now, you're not going to be in a parking lot with a million other people, but you're going to have your friends and you're going to do your thing. And I'm telling you, it's going to be special. We're actually going to put something out later this week, people sending in what their tailgate experience is like is at home. So we can feature that on our channels because I think that it's important to showcase that our beautiful tailgating scene is still happening.
One question.
There's a sponsorship about it. Could we do something where we have something going into the game where, you know, I don't know, Bojangles or Smithfield's Chicken and Barbecue or Parker's, but, you know, has a segment online where we have the tailgate of the week, you know, where they're advertising their food. You know, before the game. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, I think Piggly Wiggly actually does have a tailgater of the week. I believe that is one of the sponsorship elements they have.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as one thing that would be cool, I don't know if you guys can do, but just like I know it's ESPN, but we're different networks, how they show the different crowds' reaction. Like, I think it was the Charlotte App State game. When Charlotte scored, they showed a whole bunch of 49er fans going nuts. Is that something that we can do for, I don't know, home games or different things to get people excited?
Do you mean like the live feed, like you'll see them on their camera? Yeah. So I got to tell you, man, this has been my project for like 2 months is trying to figure this out. And of course, I'm not the video guy. That's Greg Pearson Company, and they've been doing an amazing job. Yeah. The functionality of our board is getting to the point where it's getting really difficult. And you would think it's as simple as like a computer and a TV, right, where you just take an HDMI and just plug it in. So you say, hey, even if we didn't want to buy the technology for this and we just want to do a giant Zoom call and put it on, you would think that's possible. But unfortunately, the way our operating system for the scoreboard is, it's not. That being said, there are services that provide it, but they're well above the budget that we have right now. I was on a call with somebody recently, and they were asking for $40,000. And I was like, I don't think we're going to be able to afford that this year. But they were the same group that's doing it for the NHL and the NBA. You know, we did put out a video of asking fans to do purple gold. So we're going to actually take some of the non-live type features and put those into our game to show those. So those will change throughout the season. Like, it's not just going to be what we do the first game. We're going to have something different each game and try to get people involved in that way. Unfortunately, the live thing, we still haven't gotten that quite figured out.
Eric, I apologize if it was asked before I came on, but I'm assuming we're going to have artificial crowd noise for the game Saturday.
That actually was not asked. And yes, we are doing that. I was surprised that some people weren't a big fan of that. And I understand that, you know, it's like, hey, it's kind of weird, but I got to tell you, when I was testing out in the stadium the other day, it sounds a million times better. It actually does feel somewhat more for the players. I'm sure like there is a crowd there. My understanding is that each school has to have an administrator who will meet before the game with the referee and agree on the sound level. I'm very interested to see how that goes, assuming that's the case. I've talked to my peers in the industry, and they kind of all have the same you know, general ballpark of what theirs is. And that's, I'm assuming, what we're going to be going for. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I'm kind of hoping that the conference would just say, put it at this level, and I'd be totally cool with that. But it may be interesting on Saturday morning.
Yeah, from what I understand, both schools have to agree to what the sound level is and how much noise there is, et cetera. So I guess there has to be some collaboration with UCF.
Yeah, my understanding is that USF and the Citadel could not agree on the level, and therefore it was not played during the game.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, I've been asking the league office about this for probably since May, when we started to become evident that, hey, we might not have fans at games or a very limited capacity. Like, is this something that's going to be allowed, knowing that it takes them changing all sorts of bylaws or whatever? And, you know, of course, it's technically a violation of game rules, having any sort of piped in noise during game action. But I'm interested in somewhat using it as a home field advantage. That's great. But it's definitely much more for atmosphere. And it was funny because I had this call with the conference office and all the marketing directors, and we came in unanimously and said, we want this, because otherwise it's just going to be odd. When you got these guys, you know, popping each other's pads and all this stuff, and it's just silent out there, it's going to sound a little bit weird. And they initially denied it. And then I believe after the Navy game against BYU, then they came back and reversed the decision. And now we have ambient crowd noise.
Yeah, and I've heard it at different games, and it sounds some people's noise. NC State and Wake Forest Saturday night, it was too loud. I don't know if you saw any of that game, but I personally found it distracting because it never stopped. It was like this constant roar. But it's funny that at each stadium, you're right, it does sound different.
Yeah, and when I will say, like, when we tested the other day, because I'm using – tracks from the Marching Pirates throughout the season. So, like, the drum cadences they're doing, depending on down, like, that will be played in the stadium. Like, we want to make this as similar as possible to our Pirates experience on game days. So that, to me, was a lot harder to balance than, like, traditional canned music, because you want to make sure that drum tracks or horns or whatever are able to be heard. I felt really good after we went through it on the sound check last Friday, and we're going to do another one this week to make sure before Saturday.
Do you have a booing sound for when the refs call penalties on the park?
You know, what's funny is I did send an email asking if that was susceptible to a penalty. I would hope not, but I don't know sometimes, because we have some strange rulings on some things. And, you know, I did notice, I forget what, I was watching a Major League Baseball game and somebody went in on the boo track. Like, it was unbearably loud. And it was just hilarious because you see, you know, the coach and the ump yelling at each other and there's nobody there. And it's just roaring boos.
Eric, I had a future question for you. We're talking something that all three of us have talked about on the podcast in the past. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, guys, that scoreboard is 20 years old. I think it was 2000.
No, 10 years old.
I'm sorry. It was one more. That's right. It was one more. I beg your pardon. We had one. That's right. One more. But 10 years old. What is the cost of a scoreboard? And I know that's obviously not the time to talk about with our finances being very tight, but that's something that we desperately need. And obviously we can't get a scoreboard overnight. So do you know how much it would cost so we could do stuff like the Zoom calls or to make your job a little, I know it's stressful, but to make it more creative or more, more things, more tools in the toolbox.
Yeah. I don't want to just throw out a number, cause it does depend on the size of the board, but I bet a board of our size, if you just replaced the screen itself and got a very basic operating system, that would be, you know, at least a couple million dollars. If you started talking about redoing the board, which I honestly would think in the next round, you would rather than replace a screen, you would want a larger board that integrates more into the game day experience. You know, you're talking, $6-8 million. You're just talking about structural. What's interesting on that side of the stadium is you're backing up to road, which I do think creates some complications, because it's not quite, you know, ECU property where you're just building the board on. You know, it's interesting to me to see schools integrate new video boards. I mean, I know Texas did one last year, the year before. They called it the Godzillatron, and it is like that big. I would love to have something like that. And although I don't think we need the biggest thing in the world, but we definitely could expand it for sure. But yeah, you're definitely talking in the millions of dollars. And unfortunately, you know, as much as it perturbs me and I want it to be bigger and better and louder and brighter and all that, and I'm sure there's more pressing issues right now.
Eric, speaking of the scoreboard, I know
it's just something you could probably look up the information for. Obviously, several administrations ago was under the Terry Holland administration, but I swear I remember when that scoreboard was put up when we built the when we closed in that end of the stadium and put that scoreboard up that and it may even have been INSP at the time, not IMG, because they changed their name 500 times. But I swear they paid for that scoreboard, or at least paid for part of it.
Yeah, I think the majority of their cost goes with the field ribbons. I'm sure some of it went towards that scoreboard, but I know the field ribbons is where they get most of their traffic because that's what's on television. I mean, I couldn't tell you the dollar numbers because I wasn't here at the time, but I know that that's something that I'm sure whenever we do upgrade the system, that's probably going to be more of a priority too, is maybe getting some of these LEDs on Town Bank Tower on the facade between the upper and lower decks on the north side, et cetera.
What I was going to bring up about the scoreboard when the hurricane came through here several weeks back in the summer, as far as the banner on the backside that says, "Welcome to Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, home of the East Carolina Pirates," or whatever. It was kind of faded anyway. Has that been replaced, or will it be replaced for this season?
It definitely will be replaced. I was in a meeting a couple weeks ago about that because I've wanted to change the design of that. To your point, it is very faded. Nothing wrong with it, but could perhaps use a modern touch and definitely needs to be freshened up color-wise. I think there's some cool opportunities and things we can do with it would be a very loud statement about where you're at. And that's I want to embrace the pirate culture a little bit more. And so I think there's some things we can do with it that way.
A lot of fun with the game. What other is there any breaking news you can tell us? I know you said there's other stuff that fans can expect. I'm hoping you'll tell us something tonight so we can get it out there, a little bit before everybody else.
I wish I could. I thought this was going to be on today, but we had a couple things come up. Obviously, we had the ABC deal that kind of pushed some more things around. But you guys can definitely expect to see something in the morning. And I feel like this is an opportunity for our ECU fans to enjoy games. So I'm very excited. I think that I can't believe we've actually made it through this all. And when we kick the ball off Saturday, I guess I'll believe it. I mean, who knows with everybody canceling games left and right. But it's been a weird off season. But, man, it's going to be a sense of normalcy to actually be playing a football game on Saturday.
Yeah, we have two more rounds of COVID tests to get through. don't count it just yet.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
I have a couple things for you. When we were talking about Purple Haze, obviously we know Steve cannot be on the field, but in terms of the smoke, did you say will or will there not be smoke?
Yeah, we'll be working with members of our football staff who are approved to be in that area to do that. It's fortunately a pretty simple process. They are military-grade desert camouflage. We have to get approval from the Pentagon when we order these things. And so there's a whole paperwork process. Wow. But anyway, it's military grade, and it sounds fancy, but it's as simple as just pulling a little pin and dropping in a pot. So I think they can handle it. Like I said, it's really important for me to make sure that those traditions carry on. And I do believe, honestly, that provides our players a psychological advantage a lot.
And also, obviously, even though it wouldn't be the same on a normal, if by some chance the ABC cameras catch it, it obviously makes it look better as well. But and then also something else that adds to the atmosphere, doesn't exactly fall under your hat, but it kind of does in a sense, and that's the Marching Pirates. You talked about the way they will be incorporated over the loudspeakers and PA system. But moving forward, when we have that limited capacity, have you heard anything as far as them being included? Because you see a lot of bands on TV, and whether they're socially distanced, with one member every 10 or 15 feet.
Yeah, so we met when classes were moved to all virtual with ECU. We met with the School of Music. Of course, it was athletics' desire to make sure we, continue to have a presence with the marching band. The School of Music, in line with their dean and the others, academics on campus, basically didn't feel very comfortable with the operation. And I'll be honest, a lot of schools are doing the exact same thing. So I totally get it. Unfortunately, that means there will be no live performances for the Marching Pirates this year. They still have an online class. There's still things that they're doing related to the marching band. It's a shame because their numbers are continuing to grow. I know it had reached a really low point a few years ago, and their recruiting efforts are really starting to pick up. But, you know, we're going to feature them the way we can, and then we'll have them back next year. But we do have an active cheer team, a dance team, PD. So once we have the opportunities to use them in person, we will be using them.
So the cheerleaders will not be allowed in the stands for the UCF
Correct.
Game?
Correct.
Oh, wow. I figured at least they would be allowed. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I'll be honest. I'm just really glad we got to the 350 number with the parents. I mean, it was getting pretty tough when it was just 50. So I'm just glad that the parents will be able to see their guys play.
Yeah, so they'll be good. It's good. It's just – I don't know, Eric. I just find stuff like that amusing when next week, you know, we can have 7% capacity. But this week can't have the cheerleaders in there. It's just comical to me.
Yeah, I'm working with them. We're actually filming some of their routines and things like that. So we're going to have some of those integrated into the game. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm actually the administrator for the cheer and dance team. So I work with them very closely. And they've been really great sports about it all. I mean, they are very, very passionate about what they do and how much they support the team. So it's not fun for them, but they're putting on a smile and doing what they're asked to do and doing a great job at it.
Will they be allowed for the basketball? Like basketball being late November on, is that something that have you heard as far as being indoors? And that's something I'm concerned about too. We can talk about later having you back, but about the number of people inside and all that.
Yeah, I know that those are very preliminary discussions between the health directors and the states. I think right now their only focus is outdoor sports, knowing that every sport that competed in the fall, with the exception of volleyball, which the NCAA went ahead and moved anyway before it was even discussed this spring. All the discussion has been focused on outdoor sports. So right now it's just the preliminary discussions related to what that's going to mean. You know, if it's the same as football in terms of a 25-foot buffer from the, you know, players and coaches, that's definitely going to create some complications. So it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see. I did see the NCAA trademarked a couple of weeks ago, the term battle in the bubble. So I'm very interested to see what that turns out to mean, whether that be the tournament or just the general, who knows. But I did see they trademarked that term a couple of weeks ago. I'm interested to see what that means.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
So it's interesting. Basketball will be here a lot sooner than we think.
Yeah, and things are going to keep changing. You know, things change today, and they'll change again in a couple of weeks, and it'll all keep evolving.
Yeah, I was in a great meeting yesterday, and it was really funny. They said, hey, I wish I could tell you things are changing every day, but they're changing every hour. And by changing every hour, I mean they're changing every 15 minutes. So everybody's got to be flexible and move on with it.
And, by the way, before we let you go, I wanted to thank you for all the – you guys with the – one of the great things about the administration, I think, has been the marketing, and with social media has been off the charts in the last couple of years. So I want to give you guys a big shout out for that. It's been awesome.
Well, I greatly appreciate that. It's definitely been a focus of our team, and it's been a lot of figuring out some complications over the last couple of years, because we were very, very far behind in that field. So we're at least finally catching up to a normal level, and we're going to continue to get much better.
All right. And how can people follow you on Twitter? And obviously, we hopefully we can get a victory on Saturday and have a big smile on Eric Ward's face.
My handle is at @EricWard_7.
All right, man. Hopefully at some point we can see you at the stadium. But at least we've got the games going on now finally this Saturday at high noon on ABC. Thank you so much for the visit. And you'll definitely be invited back on. Anytime you want to come on, you're always welcome.
You guys are the bomb. Go Pirates.
All right.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks to Eric Ward. Appreciate him very much. Great guy. And he works really, really hard. And great to have, just to be able to, I know that there's anything possible this week, but guys, just the fact that we've made it to game week, I think is a win for us.
Yeah, no, we haven't made it just yet, Dave.
I know, but I'm saying just the fact that we're at the week of the game, just the week of the game, when we could have made a chance for game day. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Like game week if we don't play. I'm nervous. I'll be nervous until Saturday that something's going to happen. But As I said on Facebook the other day, if the good Lord willing and the corona don't rise, we'll have a game Saturday.
Well, unfortunately, reading the New York Times, it is going to rise again, but that's a whole nother the show. Let's just try to get through.
Football. Our team.
Oh yeah. Well, I understand that. But anyway, we were talking about the game on Saturday, high noon, ABC. Kyle, what are your thoughts? We hadn't had a chance to really talk to you about that.
On the game or being moved to ABC?
Well, first ABC. We'll have more of a preview on. You can talk some about that, we'll talk about ABC first.
I think it's great. I mean, it's a lot better than ESPN Plus. I understand our television contract with ESPN and to go up from $2 million to $7 million per school. A lot of that had to do with agreeing to some games on ESPN Plus to try to help get their subscription numbers up. But getting moved to ABC, unfortunately Notre Dame and Wake Forest had some issues with COVID on Notre Dame with 7 positive, and they're in the process of doing contact tracing in South Bend with those 7 positive. So it's going to be interesting how that affects them and the ACC schedule going forward. But it's a great opportunity. I mean, I can only remember us playing on ABC one time. That was 2015. And Nikki, that's her opinion on it. I don't know if you heard that, but we beat Virginia Tech. So it's good to be on ABC again. It's exciting. It's great exposure, win or lose. Just play well, and it's good for the program.
We won last time on ABC. Let's do it again.
All right.
Let's do it. Yeah, we're excited about it. I know that certainly if you can't find ABC, I hate it for you. That's back in the day, like I was telling you guys, I'm so old that they only had a handful of games on, and ABC was one of the networks that had like one game on, So the fact that we are on ABC is a huge deal. And with the game coming up on Saturday, I was telling Bubba, as far as the media is concerned, but maybe fans, maybe they'll put some of us on standby and make a stand out there and wait to see if we can get in or not. Who knows?
You mean moving forward with the Navy game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm joking.
That's going to be interesting to see, how that's going to play out. I'm quite sure there'll be a small percentage that'll go to students, and there'll be a small percentage that goes to parents of the other team. Then the rest will go to season ticket holders, but still it's only 35 tickets. That's only 3,500 tickets by my math. So that's only going to go so far. And I know we haven't officially said that we are going to do the 7% attendance, though I cannot imagine that we would.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do that. I mean, right now with the fact that we need every dollar we can. And if you already have taken a huge loss with the fact that you're not going to be able to get potentially 51,000 people in there. So the fact that you can put 3,500 is better than zero.
And Dave, we've had some folks chiming in on social media. Richard Osbrook, he's saying that he had secured his tickets to Georgia State today. And he said it's crazy that he has to go out of state to watch his Pirates play. He had to buy season tickets to Georgia State. With the cost being comparable to a single game ECU ticket, he went ahead and did so. He needed more Pirates to head to Atlanta. So I'm guessing that the cost may have been about $60 to $70, something like that. And that's an upper end ECU ticket. Obviously, some of our single game ticket for a conference game is going to be maybe about $45 to $50. And then you also had Justin Butch chiming in, calling for a little rain this weekend. I looked up the forecast myself on weather.com. Right now it's high of 81 and about a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the day.
Last time we played on ABC against Virginia Tech, it was in the pouring rain.
Yeah, that was by the way, I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine, Belair Bagley, who he actually said looked like my dad. That's a compliment there, Blair. Blair is actually – this is a true story. For those of you that know Arnie Spanier, and he predicted that EC was going to go down to the Orange Bowl and beat Miami. We beat them, what was it, 31-6?
Yeah,
31-6, yeah. All right, well, Blair actually helped me. We needed a car for Arnie because we had a promotion back then for the flagship station and with Henry Hinton. And we actually, Blair helped me get a car. We painted it purple and gold. We put it in front of the Professor O'Cool's. And because of Blair, he helped me out. My only regret is that I should have kept the car to tailgate and be with you guys. But anyway, it was a, I think it was a Blair. I think it was a Buick you helped me get that day, a sedan. But it was really awesome. And people like
Blair's dad, George. Blair's dad, George, was a great pirate, George Bagley.
Oh, my. Yeah, he had the big purple wig on. For people that may know, the guy that wore the purple wig, that was his dad.
Yeah,
George.
And Bagley's in Williamson, of course, was there for years and years. And you could go there and buy about anything. And I remember when Blair had a small car lot in Williamson in the late 80s.
Yeah.
My mom buying a Saab from him, and then totaled it soon thereafter. But no fault of Blair's. It was a great car. My mom is a terrible driver.
Yeah, we can't. He can't help you with the driving. He gets you the car. But thanks to Blair, I want to give him a shout out because he really helped us out. That was really cool. And the car was awesome. He's awesome. And I appreciate him being a family friend for a long, long time. And just a perfect example of I remember he used to, Blair and a lot of other guys used to listen to Arnie. Oh, man, that's cool. That's cool. He buried his dad with a wig. That's really cool. His dad was awesome and larger than life character. And his family has just been amazing. And the fact that the upset specials that Arnie used to do, remember on Thursday nights, were a lot of guys that won a lot of.
Upset special number one. Don't want the points. Don't need the points. Take the points.
But listening to Arnie, they won a lot of money on. I'll just put it that. I won't name any names, but they won a lot of money off of listening to Arnie's picks. So that's cool. But we'll keep it going as far as the game is concerned. I just want to say hello to Blair there. Appreciate him very much. But as far as the game Saturday, I know we were talking about on Sunday, we were talking about, I asked you the question end of the playback there, Kyle, what you thought about the game. Special teams, obviously the defense has got to play out of their minds. We got to see a lot of big plays as far as our end with the turnovers. Have you had more time to think about the game and how we can win the game?
Yeah, well, we're breaking down more later in the week, but it's going to take turnovers. It's going to take special teams play. And our offense is going to have to perform well. We're not going to stop them. We're going to have to outscore them and on defense force some turnovers. I really don't see it happening. I hope it happens, and that's not negative on the Pirates. I think UCF is going to go undefeated. I don't think anybody's going to beat them. But I hope we have a really good showing and put up a lot of points and feel really good about going to Georgia State the following week.
Yeah, I was listening to the CBS Cover 3 podcast today while I was walking and jogging, and those guys, Chip Patterson and company, Barton Simmons, also Danny Cannell, they were talking about how, in their opinion, same thing you just said as far as UCF, they don't think it's going to happen because they know how it works with Power 5 and Group of 5, but they said if there's going to be a team that has a chance to do it, this UCF team certainly looks to have that potential.
Of all the teams I've seen play this year, keep in mind the SEC and Big Ten haven't played yet, but Big 12 schools, ACC schools, UCF looks as good as anybody I've seen play, and that's including Clemson.
So kind of shifting gears a little bit. Huge news today, and it's going to be scrolling across the bottom of the screen here in just a moment. But East Carolina men's basketball, Joe Dooley and staff received their fourth commitment of the 2021 class as a 6'5", 180-pound shooting guard, Alexis Reyes of Cushing Academy up in Massachusetts. And like I said, a shooting guard, I watched a little film on him, very small sample size, but in that 2 minutes, he handles the ball extremely well with both hands, takes it to the basket, and can finish with the left hand. Which I think is his non-dominant hand, but
so he's amphibious.
Yeah, but like I guess it's what Charles Shackelford, the
God rest his soul,
NC State great. Yeah, The late Charles Shackelford talked about being amphibious instead of ambidextrous, but he uses both hands well, taking the ball to the hoop, and appeared to shoot it very well also. So it's a nice pickup. He had offers from the likes of Illinois, Creighton out of the Big East, St. John's, Georgetown, Rhode Island, UMass, et cetera. So a lot of programs that have played a lot more quality basketball in East Carolina down through the years. So I think Joe Dooley and this staff, and we recently talked to Antoine Jackson, the newest addition to Coach Dooley's staff. So if you missed that interview, go back and check it out right here on Facebook or our YouTube channel. That was an excellent conversation right at an hour long.
And we also have it on all our platforms for podcasts as well. You can listen to it if you're working out or driving. I know a lot of people, guys, listen to our podcast as they're commuting different long distances. So go back and listen to that. That was amazing, and just amazing to see that a basketball program is really blossoming. Same with the women's basketball. Very excited about that. And guys, it won't be long, and that'll be the end of November. It'll be right around the corner. Around Thanksgiving is when basketball is going to kick off, or tip off rather. And I'm looking forward to it for sure. All right, before we go, I know we got a big show on Thursday, don't we, Bubba?
We do. Sorry, I muted myself there so folks wouldn't hear me typing. But yeah, we have a big show on Thursday, and actually on Thursday afternoon, we'll catch up with Rashad Milligan. He is of the Clarion Ledger in Mississippi. He is the beat writer for Jackson State. If you hadn't heard the news, Deion Sanders is the new head football coach at Jackson State there in Mississippi. So we'll talk to them, or to him, about that decision to bring in Deion Sanders. And we'll also talk to the play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Vols, Bob Kessling, at 4:30. And then our buddy Steve Robertson down at Mississippi State with Gene's Page, their 24/7 site. We'll talk to him about the Pirate Mike Leach leading the Bulldogs into action for the first time this weekend. A fairly challenging task against LSU. That one's at 3:30 on CBS. And then we'll have our Pirate preview on Thursday night. We'll catch up with Jason Beatty of UCF's 24/7 site, and then potentially another guest. And then on Friday night, we'll have the Inside Slant, where we talk to play-by-play voices, beat writers, and more from around the country, previewing week four of college football.
And don't forget, after the game, we'll have obviously our playback. We're working on that as well. So we got a busy week, Kyle, and we're going to have a lot of fun with all the stuff we're doing, and appreciate all the support of fans all over the place. Appreciate it very much for all their support over the years, and the show continues to grow thanks to them. We are the unofficial podcast of the Pirates, been around since March of 2018. Over 360 episodes. So really proud of that, and proud of the two guys on the screen with me. I don't thank you guys enough. Thank you, Bubba, and thank you, Kyle, for being with me. I'll go to war with you guys any day of the week, and appreciate it very much.
Appreciate it, Dave. Appreciate you. Appreciate Bubba. And time for football, baby.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no appreciate it, Dave. I also just want to give a shout-out to Sutton Young. Sutton's been doing an excellent job helping us, so wanted to give him a shout out on the air for everything he's doing. I'm doing some stand ups there and just reporting outside of Dowdy Ficklin Stadium and on campus with things breaking. He's done an excellent job, and I know that's something he's extremely passionate about. And actually, he's going to be going down to Tampa for the USF game here in a few weeks. And we'll be checking in with him on the pregame, probably halftime as well as postgame.
All right. Sounds good. All right, guys. Well, it's time for me to put my kids to bed. And so we'll appreciate both of you again. And thanks to Jay Sunhalter. And hopefully he gets better and get well, buddy. And then obviously Eric Ward. I know he's busy this week. Appreciate him taking the time out of his busy schedule. All right. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.